stand right here by your wife. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Dear friends, the Word of God teaches us that all mankind, by the fall of Adam, came under the power of sin, death, and the devil. But our Lord Jesus Christ has redeemed us with his precious blood and atoning death. Therefore, in obedience to his commandment, let us assist this child to become a partaker of his holy baptism, praying that the Lord Jesus will keep him in faith all the days of his life. For as much as by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin, and thus death passed upon all men, for all have sinned, so by the offense of one, judgment came upon all men to condemnation. By nature we are all therefore the children of wrath, and have come short of the glory of God. But as through one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so through the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. For as sin reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. It is therefore most meet and right that in obedience to his commandment and trusting in his promises, we bring our children to be baptized in the name of the triune God. Our Lord Jesus Christ has himself instituted holy baptism, saying to his disciples, "All power hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go you therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I command you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." This comforting gospel from the 10th chapter of St. Mark assures us that God hears our prayers and graciously receives children. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, "Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein." And he took them in his arms, put his hand on them, and blessed them. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And let us hear the Christian faith that our church confesses, and into which Mason will be baptized. I believe in God the Father, almighty maker of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. You can bring him forward. Put his head right over this water, please. I baptize thee, Mason Levi Ilanimi, in the name of the Father, and in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen. And let us give thanks and pray. O innocent Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, you who love children and therefore bid them come unto you, you who place your hand upon them and bless them, saying, "Theirs is the kingdom of God," we pray you look graciously upon Mason, who also needs your holy blessing, that as he has been baptized in your holy name with water and the Holy Spirit, he also by the same Spirit may prosper and grow and be filled with all good gifts to your honor and glory, you who reign with God the Father and the Holy Spirit, world without end. Amen. And Mason, the Lord bless you and keep you. Lord, make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you of his peace. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. And dear friends, you are witnesses that this child, Mason, has been baptized in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, I encourage you, I exhort you, versus parents, and as godparents, and the church, early to teach this child to keep that which our Lord Jesus Christ in his word has commanded us, so that he may grow in the grace and knowledge of God and our Redeemer, Jesus Christ, abiding in this covenant wherein the triune God in his grace has received him through the merits of Jesus Christ our Lord. To that end, may God give you his grace. Amen. And let us also hear the Apostle Paul's warning to those of us who have received the grace of baptism. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore we are buried with him by baptism into his death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you. I can take that. And then we'll continue our service by singing together 221.
Morning will be Psalm 91. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler, and from the noisome pestilence. He shall cover thee with his feathers, and under his wings shalt thou trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flieth by day, nor for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked, because thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over thee, to keep thee in all thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Thou shalt tread upon the lion and adder. The young lion and the dragon shalt thou trample under feet. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he hath known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. Amen. There was a tragedy in Fargo, North Dakota, where a police officer was shot and killed. And I would like us to remember the police officers that served to protect us from harm, from the crimes of today, from the decaying society that needs law and order to bring us stability among our communities, to make us feel safe. We're at a time when our society has lost the respect for authority. We need to honor Jason Mosier for his sacrifice to protect people from danger and all officers in line of duty. We also should give support and comfort to the widow and two kids left behind. From this tragic event, not just the police department, but firefighters, rescue people, and soldiers, to make this a safe land to live. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for bringing us here today to learn more about you, to worship you, and that we can worship and adore you, and that with your unconditional love for us, that we know that we aren't perfect, but that through your death on the cross, that you made us perfect in your sight, that there was no way that we could be able to make it right, but through your death on the cross, you made it right. And that without you, there would be no hope. But through you, there is hope for us that one day we can be with you in heaven above, and that we can see you face to face. And that you would be with, and that we ask that you would be with the Mosier family this morning, and that you would be with them and comfort them, and that you would also be with the Anton Scalia family as he passed as the Supreme Court Justice, that you would be with him that you would be with their family this morning, and that you would be with the Clifford Coscola family and give the doctors wisdom to figure out the problems there, and that you would be with Richard Illinemy and give him comfort in this time of need, that you would also be with Marge Kumba and give her peace, and that you would be with June Nelmark, and that you would also Bring this child up in your admonition that was baptized this morning, and be with Andrea and Levi, and give them peace and strength as they raise their family. And that let us pray their prayer that you have taught us by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Peace be unto you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our sermon text for this, the first Sunday in Lent, will be taken from the Gospel of Luke. We'll be looking at the fourth chapter and be reading the first 15 verses of that chapter. So that's Luke 4, chapter 1, or Luke. Verse 1 through verse 15. The Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, begin reading this morning from verse 1, where we read then as follows in the name of our Lord. And Jesus, being full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, being 40 days tempted of the devil. And in those days he did eat nothing, and when they were ended, he afterward hungered. And the devil said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. And Jesus answered him, saying, It is written that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And the devil, taking him up into an high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. And Jesus answered and said unto him, Get thee behind me, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple, and said unto him, If thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from here, from hence. For it is written, He shall give His angels charge over thee, to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. And Jesus answering said unto him, It is said, Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. And when the devil had ended all the temptation, he departed from him for a season. And Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him through all the region round about. And he taught in their synagogues, being glorified of all. Amen. Shall we pray? Gracious Father, we're thankful to you this morning again for your word. Father, that indeed as we come before this word, we find ourselves in awe of the one who is the incarnate word. And so we pray, Father, that indeed you would open our eyes and our ears this morning so that we could hear the message. And upon hearing, Father, we could see. Sanctify us in the truth. For your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake we pray. Amen. It's interesting when you begin to consider the temptation of Jesus. Very often it's said perhaps that this is like an example for us as believers. So this is what Jesus goes through all of this for, so to kind of show us by what he does so that we ourselves are then able to do the same. But actually that really takes away from the power of this whole event. You see, Jesus was just described in the previous chapter as the son of Joseph, supposed son of Joseph, and all the way down through that lineage, if you were to read it, starting with verse 23 of chapter 3, when you get to the 38th verse, it says, which was the Son of God. Jesus is driven out into the wilderness by the Spirit for a distinct reason and purpose. And that is that he would take care of the problem that has befallen the human race from the very beginning of time. And that happened, as you know, perhaps in the fall in the garden, when Adam and Eve were confronted by the devil, by Satan himself, and were tempted by him to disobey God, and they fell. And thus we have all of the mess that we notice and see in our world today, and more than that, our own sinfulness that we experience in our daily living, our own rebellion, as it were, against God. You see, what happens here in the wilderness with Jesus and Satan is a cosmic event. And the reason why I say that is because this event now changes the whole scheme of humanity. Jesus, as the true Son of God, enters into the wilderness to take on the devil himself on behalf of the entire human race. Adam and Eve, who was the son of God in the garden, failed when he was tempted by Satan. Has God said? Jesus, as the Son of God, as he enters into the wilderness, will not fail. And that, my friends, is the good news of the gospel. This is actually the very beginning of his ministry. He was just baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, and the Holy Spirit had come down upon him, and he was now filled and led and guided, as it were, by this Spirit. The Spirit drives him into the wilderness. And there he's there for 40 days. Now, There's a very interesting thing that you need to consider here this morning. The incarnate Word of God is driven into the wilderness. In other words, the Word of God made flesh. You see, this is what we really see in this whole account before us this morning. We see Jesus as human taking on Satan, but more than that, Jesus as God. The God-man enters into the wilderness to take on Satan, to be tempted by him for the entirety of the human race. This needed to happen, which is why it tells us that he was led, actually, by the Spirit of God. You see, when we think about our Savior, when we think about Jesus, we need to understand that he encounters all of these things. He is our high priest and goes through these things solely on our behalf. The devil was dealt a very severe blow in this event. And though he at a later point in Jesus' life would think that he would gain some sort of a victory, he did not. This temptation that takes place here, my friends, is not like in some way some sort of a battle between God and Satan, and we're wondering who's perhaps going to win this battle. This battle is won before it even begins. Because when God in the flesh, when the incarnate Word of God comes to confront Satan, Satan has nothing upon which to stand. He tries. He tries to spew his deception to the Lord, but there is no way he's going to win. You see, this is good news. Too often, church people give a little bit too much power to Satan. They forget that he is the defeated foe, that his head is crushed, and the work of Christ has delivered a death blow to him. And he simply gasps, as it were, for breath, sending out his deception into this world, yes, but those who are marked by the blood of the Lamb are overcomers. This is why when Paul writes what he writes to the people that he writes to, says to them over and over and over again, you are in Christ. Now let me tell you something. You, in your flesh, are no match for Satan. You see, that's not what I'm telling you this morning. In your flesh, if you want to match wits with Satan, with the devil, it's going to be over before it even begins. Because it is in Christ, it is in our union with him now, that we find our victory. This is where you and I turn over and over again. This is what this whole account really brings to us. It brings to us the victory that is now ours in Christ. It brings to us the Word of God incarnate, defeating his enemy, our arch enemy. He is defeated by Christ himself. This isn't some sort of an example. This is our victory. Because when Satan comes to tempt Jesus, he tempts him, yes, in his humanity, but Jesus, each and every time, overcomes him by the Word. And when Satan tries to twist the Word to somehow bend it to his own benefit, he overcomes him with the Word. Because it is the Word of God, my friends, in which you and I trust and lean on yet today. So in that sense, yes, perhaps we could say this is an example. But it's not like we need to somehow pull ourselves up by our bootstraps and somehow get about trying to defeat Satan. That's already been done. And that's the whole power of the gospel, my friends. That's the whole power of being found in Christ Jesus, of being baptized into Him. We have been now given the victory, not by anything that you and I have ever done or will do. The grace of God comes to us solely as gift. And you and I are just simply the ones who have heard the message and believe it. We are the ones who are partakers of this message by grace through faith. Not of ourselves, it is the gift of God. Satan had no idea what he was up against. He tried. He tried the same exact tactic as he did with Eve in the garden. If thou be the Son of God, command these stones that they might be made bread. Jesus was hungry. He was human. He hadn't eaten for 40 days. He was also the Son of God. It would have been no big deal for him to take a stone that might have been lying there in the desert and pick it up and it would become bread. He could have done that. But you see, this is what Satan tries to do with him. He tries to somehow trick him or put a little bit of doubt into him, but there was never any chance of that ever happening. Because this is the Son of God. And as he enters into this temptation, he enters into it on your behalf and on mine, so that we can experience in our own life our own deliverance over the temptation of the wicked one. Why does the scripture tell us if you resist Satan, he will flee from you? Because you're so religious? Because of your great knowledge or strength? No. None of that. You resist him solely on the basis of the finished work of Jesus the Christ, the incarnate Word of God, as John describes him. This is the Word. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld, as it were, the glory of the only begotten Son of God. And this is how we live. You see, I know there's a million different ways, maybe not a million, but there's a lot of different ways I could go with the message perhaps this morning. And some ministers will, and that's fine. But as I studied and looked at this text this week, I couldn't help but just think of this, of the power in this event, of what takes place for the human race. And this is really what I wanted to share with you this morning, that you would understand, you who are a follower of Jesus Christ, who are named by the name of Christ, if you are a Christian this morning, this victory is yours. If you are found in Jesus Christ this morning, this victory is yours. And you understand by the power of the Holy Spirit that this is now how you live. This is how you live in this world. You live by the word of God. And you worship solely Him. The devil comes with another temptation for Jesus, tells him, oh, look, brings him up on a high mountain, says, look at all of this glory of this world. All of this can be yours if you will fall down and worship me. And the devil demonstrated himself to be a liar. He couldn't give Jesus anything. He was unable to give what he said he was going to give. And so Jesus tells him, get thee behind me. Get thee behind me, Satan, for it's written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. This is the one we worship. We worship the Son of God who goes into the wilderness on your behalf and on mine. Because there was never any hope for you or for me to go out into the wilderness and to confront Satan on our own. We were done. We were destined to fall, as it were, on our face from the very get-go. Someone needed to do it on our behalf. Someone needed to go out into the wilderness and take on Satan. And so God did. The Son of God did. He brings him to the temple, to a very high place in the temple. And he says, you know, the word says, Psalm 91, you guys heard Isaac read it for us this morning. It's quoted here as well. Throw yourself down from here. If you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. The angels will catch you as you're falling. Basically is what he's saying. And Jesus again says, it is written, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. Each and every time that Christ is confronted with these temptations by Satan, he brings them back to the power of the Word. And you see, this is what we rely on this morning. This is what we as a church rely on. We rely on the Word of God. And not just the Word in a sense of this written Word, but the Word of God who came in flesh, Jesus Christ Himself, who enters into these temptations on our behalf to rescue us, to become our high priest, of which the Hebrew writer speaks of, who is tempted in every way like we are, yet without sin. Therefore, making the way wide open, as it were, unto heaven. The devil leaves him. He leaves them, it says, and departed from him for a season. He would return one more time. And there the death blow would be inflicted on him, when Christ would die for the sins of the entire world. But it tells us that Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit into Galilee, and there went out a fame of him throughout all the region round about. Because this is what we do during Lent. We don't just simply go into Lent in inspection of ourselves according to the law and despair. You see, a lot of people during the 40 days of Lent will give something up. But that's pretty easy, don't you think? Well, what are you going to give up for Lent this year? Well, perhaps I'm going to give up spinach. That would be a good one to give up. One guy said, well, I'm going to give up Brussels sprouts. Well, come on, anybody can do that. What are you going to give up? And you see, this is really the whole point of Lent. Lent, as we enter into it, is sure a time where we can do some introspection. We can look at ourselves in light of God's holy law and word and wonder how it is that God could ever save a miserable person like me. Because that's really what happens as we examine his law. We see ourselves as completely undone. There's no way that I can ever approach onto this God who is so holy and demands, actually, that when I read that law, I must keep it in every point. There's no wiggle room at all. There's no lawyers that I can call up and find where the loopholes are so I can somehow squirm out of this thing. No, if you are going to live by the law, then you have to live by it. And that's why Romans tells us Christ is the end of the law for salvation to all who believe. It is in Christ. It is to this man that we look. It is to this one who is incarnate, the Word of God in flesh, who confronts Satan and uses his own words to defeat him. It is to this one that we look in during the Lent season. As we notice and examine ourselves in light of the law of God, it is this one who brings us now to the point of salvation. It is this one who brings us to our victory. That's why, as we read here, his fame went everywhere. And it does today. You see, we may not think it does. We look around us at our world and we bemoan its fallenness and its sinfulness. But we'll sometimes do ourselves a grave disservice by doing that. No, what this world needs to hear is not a bunch of Christians standing up and saying this, bemoaning this world. No, they need to hear someone stand up and say, let me point you to the one who rescued this world, who brought this world its own victory. Let me bring you the gospel. Let me point you to the one who endured all the temptations that you endured and who won each and every time when you could not. Let me point you to the one who is your victor, who is your salvation, who understood and understands your plight and loved you nonetheless. Hebrews 4. Tells us a very interesting thing. And I'll close with this. For the word of God is quick. Verse 12, by the way. Hebrews 4, verse 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and of the joints and the marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in his sight. But all things are naked and opened unto the eyes of him with whom we have to do. And notice what he says after this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. When Christ entered into the wilderness, he was tempted in all points like we are. All three of those temptations point to all kinds of things that we deal with in the flesh, and he overcame them, each and every one. This is our high priest. This is the one who intercedes on our behalf yet today. This is the one who prays for us when we don't even have words to pray. The Spirit, as it says in Romans chapter 8, maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Let us therefore, he says, listen to this. This is why I'm telling you, this is where we are to be pointed to, even in the temptation story. Let us therefore come boldly onto the throne of grace that we might find, or we might obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. You tell me where you want to go. Where do you want to go if you need help? I think the Son of God, the one who entered into the wilderness and took on our arch enemy and defeated him soundly. That's where we go. We run to him in our time of need. When the temptations of this life overcome us to a overwhelming degree, we run to the throne of God's grace, because there we find mercy, there we find help, there we find our deliverance and our forgiveness. May God help us to understand the victory that is ours in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you this morning for your word. We thank you, Father, for the work that was done for us in your Son. We thank you that you gave your servant Paul such wisdom as he wrote the many letters that he did, directing us always to our position now in Christ. And Father, in every point, in every part of our life, we run to him because that's all we have. We come before you, Father, based solely on that name. And like Stephen the Martyr, when our gaze goes heavenward, we see him standing there making intercession on our behalf. So we ask, Father, that you would continue to bless this church, bless all those who have gathered here this morning. Fill them, Father, with your Spirit, that they may go forth into their daily duties in this upcoming week, and that, Father, they would fulfill their destiny, because their destiny is in Christ. And so it would be, Father, that they would live out their days serving you and finding their all in your Son. So bless us to that end, we ask, for the sake of his holy name, and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.